Guys, hope you're doing all right. Brandon Lewis here. I just want to say, look at that sunset. That's pretty nice. I just want to say I apologize for failing my duties to you. I have not been doing my walking with Brandon like I should. Well, why? Well, I'll give you some reasons why. That's my dog barking at me. I've been busy. We did our PCA, we did our APPC Painting Profit Summit, our 8th annual. It was a fantastic event. Buddy, I just had a blast. I had a ball seeing all those guys, and they've accomplished so much. They love one another. There's this sense of community and brotherhood, fellowship. It's just wonderful. It's like a family reunion, church meeting, slash bromance festival. But I enjoy it. But people, you know, signed up. We were 33% up from last year. And then I had to onboard a bunch of people. I'm still in the middle of that. And, of course, the PCA Expo, which I had a good time at. I had a blast. And it was great to be down there with my partner in crime, Miss Tara Riley. Somebody to dress the place up a little bit, you know. Smartest lady in the room. That's what I like to call her. But nonetheless, so what am I doing this walking with Brandon about? These are unscripted. These are unscripted and casual, and it's past like 5 or 6 o'clock. So, you know, I'm no more business, but I'll talk a little business with you if you don't mind. Metrics. I'm going to run through some metrics with you. Numbers for a few minutes. When I was at PCA Expo, I enjoyed seeing some of my old friends. Shout out to Dave Riker, Dan Ross. I got to see Jason, Paris, Nick Slavic, folks. Tanner, got to hang out with Tanner, Brandon Pierpont. Many of our members were there, and that's fun to get together and go eat dinner. But I had like hundreds of conversations because I'm a chatty Cathy, right? I got to talk to everybody, got to know everybody, be friends with everybody. I can't help it. It drives my wife nuts. But nonetheless, as I went around the room, people always want to talk business with me because that's what I do for a living, and they're trying to pry something out of my head for free. And in order for me to be able to help people, even if it's just talking over a beer, like I got to have some basic fundamental information. And it just shocked and amazed, baffled, disappointed me to go through hundreds of conversations with painting contractors and they not know their basic metrics. I'm not talking about real complicated, obscure things. I'm talking about the danged basics. So I'm going to run through some of those with you. And you need to take out a pen and a piece of paper, write these puppies down, and ask yourself, do you know these? And if you don't, you need to start tracking them. And I'll maybe, if I feel like it at the end, talk to you about which ones I think are the most important. Scratch that. I'm just going to start with what I think are the most important. That doesn't mean these may not be misordered, and I might put a real important one at the end, but I'm going to try to start at the top. So here's the top, okay? The top, in the top echelon are the following metrics. First is your gross profits. You need to be at 50% gross profits. That means if you do a $10,000 job, you need to be making $5,000 in gross profits. After labor, material, and what I call labor burden. And that would be your workers' comp modifier and whatever your taxes are. So the wage plus the burden, right? Double it. Material cost, double it. Now, if you got bad paint prices, talk to me about the painter's purchasing group. We can save people 35 to 45% on average, but folks got bromances with their rep, and liquids and cans are like religious things in the painting world. But nonetheless, gross profits. You also need to know your close rate, your sales close rate, your average transaction size. Okay. I would also say another sales metric that is critically important is your on-site close rate. Of all the estimates you run, that close, how many close right there on the spot? That's really like your leading indicator of the persuasiveness of your sales process. Percentage of repeat and referral business. If you did $100,000, or I'm sorry, that would be terrible. if you did $1 million in sales and only like 100,000, 1,500,000, 200,000 of those sales come from repeat and referral clients, you got a crappy or absent client reactivation and retention program. And that matters because the average transaction size for a repeat and referral business is 60% larger than the first. They close at about 65 to 55% versus cold leads, 22 to 35%. Maybe if you're lucky, you got a superhuman out there calling on these people and you've got a good lead generation person as well. So those are some numbers. Other numbers, your available labor capacity per week, how many labor hours you got, and what's the percentage that you achieved. If you've got 10 painters, you've got 400 labor hours. If they worked 350 hours last week, you're in trouble. So labor utilization is another one. What else we got here? Accounts receivable should be next to nothing in residential, virtually nothing. You should never bill or send an invoice to a residential client. You just collect the payment at the end of the job. Just do it right then. And in commercial, you need to really work hard to negotiate down in repaints to 30, 60, 14 days. You don't want to be out there at 90, 120, find a different client, or charge them 12% interest. You know, you're the they're treating you like the bank. You need to charge like the bank and then some. What else we got here? Metrics I can think of that are really important. I hope I don't get ran over. We don't have a lot of traffic out here. What other metrics do we have? Your client list size. How big is it? I think that's a big one. I mean, how many people have bought from you in the past? How many people have you written an estimate to that did not buy? If you multiply that number on the past client side, about 1,200 to 1,600, depending on your market, you'll figure out what the annual repeat value is in your list. Basically, how much organic spending is going on in that list. For example, if you got a list of 1,000 past clients and you live in a lower end market, like in the South, I call it a lower end market. It's really a lower cost of living market. I love living here. I would move up there with y'all Yankees if you paid me. I wouldn't. I like living down here in the South. No offense to Yankees. I got lots of friends that are Yankees. Y'all did win the war. There is that. So what else? I'm not bitter. What else? So if you have 1,000 people and if 1,200 of them, or I'm sorry, you got 1,000 people times $1,200, that's at $1.2 million, right? Like if you're about $50, $55 per hour charge rate, which is fine in some markets because the cost of living is lower. So you get about 1.2. If that same list is in California, you're probably at a 1.8 because they tax the heck out of everybody over there and regulate them so bad they can't make a living. So all that just gets passed on to the consumer. People think the business owner eats it. Mm-mm. The consumer always eats it because it's got to go down to the end of the source. Other numbers that you need to know. Talked about some sales metrics. Oh, marketing. Almost left this out. The customer list is a little bit marketing. So you need to know what your average transaction size is. I mentioned that. Cost of sale. What's the cost of sale? Cost of sale is if you get 3 leads and you only close a third of them, that means that your cost of sale is $300. Those transactions are $1,600. I'm walking up a hill. It's not that bad. And talking. But it's not, or if it's $300 you're paying and the average transaction size is $3,000, that's only 10%, right? But if it's $300 and the average transaction size is $1,600, that's a problem. And you need to evaluate every one of the sources of your marketing by your average transaction size, cost of lead, and most cost of sale, and then the percentage of every job that is devoted to the marketing expense. So that's another important one. I could probably think of others, but I'll bet there's a good chance. I got one more for you. Here's a bonus. How often and through what mediums do you communicate? There's something crawling around in the woods out there. How often do you communicate with your past clients, unconverted leads, B2B referral sources, or commercial repaint prospects? How often? Once a year? Never? Once a quarter? And then what mediums do you use? Just email? That's the worst. Just email. I send them a Christmas card that's probably a second distant awfulness. I send them marketing material when they're the least likely to buy in the middle of the winter. Well, that's great. That's a good idea. All right. So that's Walking with Brandon, guys. I've been busy. Been slacking. I apologize. But I hope this makes some sort of amends. Y'all be good. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.